We're so close to the Pentagon. Sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the all-new Warbird Radio Live channel. We're happy to be back on the air right across from the runway at Washington Reagan International Airport. Be sure and tune in Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern each week for Warbird Radio Live, followed by a new episode of one of our top-tier shows like the R.C. Scale Builder Show, Hartman and Hines, Over the Front, and the all-new Texas Warbird Report and Wings Over New Zealand Show. Listen, this station is all about community, so please join up with us on Tuesday nights and call in and become part of the fun and part of the family. Thanks again for tuning in, and join us Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hello, hello, hello! I'm Mike Buzzard Hartman.
And I'm Andy Hines.
And in the mailroom, I think we have Matt Jolly. Matt!
Yeah, I'm here.
We have Daniel Watrig on the show. That's going to be pretty exciting. We're going to get to talking about that. And in the studio today, we've got some Moraine Air Park people who are kind of our studio audience. And we'll talk about
that's their that. Cue to clap, isn't it?
Yeah, can
you guys
clap?
Yeah, can you guys clap?
There we go.
Nice. Yeah, we've got Wes Davis, Christina Davis, and we have the famous Patrick Hilt, who is now Patrick Reno Hilt.
Reno.
He's flying a champ, which is 84911. So, it's exciting to be back, folks. I haven't been on a radio show in a while here for the Hartman and Hartman show. So here we are in Dayton, Ohio. Weather is terrible. Andy.
And it's forecast to be terrible.
Yes.
With continued terribleness.
Yes, exactly. It's that time of year. Patrick!
Yo!
How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good
having
to see you.
Cold ones.
Nice. Wes, how are you?
Doing well.
Nice. Nice. Wes, real quick, before we get to our guest, what is it that you do?
I am a flight instructor.
Come over close to the microphone. Come on, bring it in. Here you go. It's okay.
I'm a flight instructor for Beaver Valley Aviation in Dayton, Ohio.
In Dayton, Ohio. And they're out at Moraine, right?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. We'll get back to you later. You just sit there and listen up.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, let's go ahead and see if we can get Daniel on the phone here.
Well, he's on the phone, Andy.
Daniel!
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
Good. You're doing great.
The Hartman and Hines Show, which is the number one top-selling aviation program of its type in the world.
Yeah, that's the only one in the world, isn't it?
I was just about to say something along those lines. Yeah. We're number one.
Why don't you give us a little background about yourself and tell us what you're doing over there.
I'm a flight instructor, just like previous person, and I've got a little business over in Southern California called Aviator Flight Training. We do KOL training and do lead in training for World War II vintage warbirds. We've got a Cessna 170, Great Lakes, Sitopria, Stearman, Texan, and DC-3. So definitely keeps me busy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And how many other instructors do you have working with you?
We got three other instructors right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, not enough mechanics because I keep breaking things.
Well, yeah, that's how it goes when you're flying anything with a round engine in it.
Maintenance-intensive aircraft.
That's right.
Now, the first thing we have to ask you, though, you mentioned that you have a Stearman.
Yes.
Why would you have a Stearman and not have a Waco?
Oh, here we go.
I'll tell you what. I do some training for guys who buy brand new Wacos and stuff, and I had a Waco owner tell me, you know, a Stearman is a great airplane for somebody who can't afford a Waco. And that is absolutely true. Can't afford a Waco.
Well then I think we can help you out. I have a nice Waco cabin you could put on your program tomorrow.
Oh, great. Great. I do have lease back opportunities available.
Well, there we go.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a bad, bad country western song here somewhere. I know there is.
Yeah. And if you're taking applications for a flight instructor, I'm your guy.
Yeah. I'll okay, Daniel, we'll talk later.
Yes, we'll talk later. So you got the DC-3 down there. That's pretty cool, too. What you just doing some training? Did you do type ratings in the DC-3?
Well, honestly, right now we're doing mostly rides with it. We do have a good friend of ours that does a lot of good training. He's got his own DC-3. We usually refer folks to him because we have our DC-3 at a ride program. Keep it pretty busy. We're getting ready to do scenic flights over the Christmas lights coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll be doing Friday through Sunday nights all over the LA Basin. Looking down at the beautiful lights. So that airplane is very busy hauling passengers. So it's one of the few airplanes that people can go out and get a ride in. One of the few DC-3s out there still that does that. So pretty fun. And it's doing a lot of training for co-pilots too. And it's great.
Yeah. Well, so I'm assuming though you don't take them up through left seat, though, time necessarily, do you?
No, you know, we're starting to get that. We had a little bit of bad luck when we first bought our airplane, so it kind of detoured us from doing flight training in it until we put some hours on our engines. But, yeah, we'll get everybody ready. You know, if somebody wants to come out and work the airplane with us, put them in the right seat, we'll get them ready to get a check ride and then hand them over to very talented gentleman over in Flaybaugh, named John Goldenbaum, mm-hmm. and have him do the pre-check ride work and get a check ride for him. So so far it's worked out pretty good.
Yeah. So right now it's just mostly ride hauling, sightseeing type things, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Tell us, we hear that you got checked out in a Italian jet. Recently. What was it? How was it? And all that good stuff, Daniel.
I will tell you what, it was so cool. I got an invitation from a good friend of mine who bought a Marchetti S211. Gentleman's name is Doug Matthews. Doug asked me if I wanted to get checked out in the airplane. I couldn't say no. So I'm out here in Florida this week and been through a few days of intense training and took my check ride today with a gentleman named Rick Milton. And he's a retired Blue Angel. He was flying F-11s and A-4s with the Blue Angels. So I was slightly intimidated to go fly with a guy like that. But it was a neat airplane, just absolutely fun. It's got the same engine out of a Citation One. Just absolute blast to go fly this little airplane around here in Florida. Of course, you know, got things stacked against me. Never flown around here, but never flown that airplane. But I've studied the heck out of it. But yeah, 3 days of just absolute fun and terror all wrapped into one.
But, well, now there's not too many of those flying here in this country, is there?
No, there's not very many of them that were even built. They only built 60 of them.
That's what I thought.
And, yeah, they've been recently retired. So a bunch of them have found their way to the U.S., but there's probably, I'd imagine, there's probably 15 of them on the registry, maybe. And it's a really neat airplane to fly. It really is. So
what kind of performance does it have? Is it comparable to, say, like an L-39 or something like that? Or
when you push the stick to the left, does it go left?
It goes left.
All
let me
right,
tell you,
good,
it goes
good,
left.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little slower than L-39. I've never flown one, but it looks slower, so I can tell you that. But, I'll tell you, the best thing about it is that doggone thing only burns like 70 gallons an hour, which a lot of the listeners are going, 70 gallons an hour, that's a lot of gas. For a jet, that's nothing.
Sipping the fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, I'm like, this is great. I'm doing better than twice as fast, almost three times as fast as the DC-3 on 70% of the gasoline. This is awesome.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
And now I can only take one of me, not 20. But, so, I don't have very many friends anyway, so it's okay.
Well, now, let's talk about some World War II action. The F-4F, right?
Yeah.
Give us the skinny on that.
Oh, what would you like to know about it?
Does it have a hand crank for the gear?
It does. It's
how many turns?
It's 27 cranks over on the right side. You know, I'll tell you what, the guys at Grumman, they really study your ergonomics. You know, take off, throttle it up with your left hand. You got the right hand on the stick. And you come off the ground, and you have to take your hand off the throttle, put it on the stick, take your right hand off the stick, and start cranking up the gear. And it was made clear to me that you should keep the throttle lock tightened before you advance the throttle. Yeah, you say, oh, that sounds like makes sense. And it makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, first time that you forget about that, I'll tell you what, you never forget about it again. You're climbing out, and you think you have an engine failure. Hearing the engine turn down, and going, wait, hold on, what do I do? And you're trying to fly the airplane with three hands. So it's a neat airplane. It's got a crosswind component of four knots. Runs out of rudder authority at about 30 miles an hour. Yeah, it's great.
How's it land? I mean, is it good on the ground?
It hits the ground really nice.
Okay.
Once you hit about 30 miles an hour, you have no rudder authority at all anymore. So, it gets a little bit testy on the ground. I swear I lose years off my life every time I land it. But in the air, it is a sweetheart of an airplane to fly.
Okay. Now, does it have a steering tailwheel, or is it just lockable?
No, it's a lock-unlock tailwheel.
Okay. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, very Navy.
Now, you know, a Wildcat always looked like an airplane that, you know, somebody with, you know, a pretty decent amount of tailwheel time could kind of get in and fly it without any major issues. I mean, that's the way it always appeared to me. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. So are there any bad characteristics about it?
As far as a tailwheel airplane goes, the airplane is like the book on bad characteristics. It's the most challenging tailwheel airplane I've ever flown in my life. It's, like I said, in the air, it is a fun airplane. On the ground, you keep it straight. You don't let it veer anything off the straight, and if it starts to go on you, it goes, and you better get yourself back in the air. It's not an airplane that you recover on the ground. So,
you know, actually, Daniel, it's Matt. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to correct you on one thing, because it is November 10th, the day that Andy Hines is wrong about so much and that you're right. The other airplane that you mentioned that was terribly difficult to fly was the C-model Tiger Moth from Canada.
Yes,
which
I
surprised you,
that.
With its excruciatingly difficult ground handling. I just wanted to throw that in there, Andy.
Right, They probably, I think you went from the Tiger Moth to the Wildcat generally.
In fact, that's usually the progression.
You know, actually, you'd be going from the Tiger Moth to the Martlet.
Well, I find that the Tiger Moth really prepared me to fly the Cessna 150.
Really? Oh, yeah.
You're almost up to speed mentally for the the stellar speeds of the Cessna 150, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because the Tiger Moth, you really didn't have to know how to use your feet at all. You just plopped it on the ground and just went, you know, and it was fine.
Wherever it was going. Yeah, that's the right way to look at it, yeah.
Cute little airplane.
Yeah, that's a cute little engine in it, too.
Yes.
I just love that, Daniel. That was the best answer of the night. Well, actually, Andy, it wrote the book on bad handling and bad characteristics. just shut him down.
I like to let people know that the Wildcat is the only airplane that I know of. The Navy actually rejected the airplane for production because it had bad characteristics for landing on land. But, Brewster screwed up their contract, so now we have the Wildcat instead of the Brewster Buffalo.
Well, maybe you'd find, Daniel, that if you were on a pitching aircraft carrier deck, then you'd do a lot better.
That's what it's made for.
You know, I keep calling Ow. I keep calling my buddies in the Navy. I say, hey, can I land this thing on a carrier deck? Because I think that would make my life a lot easier. Yes. Nobody's bit yet, but hey, you know, I'm going to keep trying. Maybe I might be able to land it on, you know, on one
we
of those
ships
out there.
We can create the mobile carrier deck for you.
Oh,
drive
great.
It down the runway. Yeah. It'll be bouncy, you know. It'll just set that thing down, no problems. You're not even going to have to kick the rudder.
That would be awesome. I love it.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's like trying to stand up in a hammock.
All right. So then you have a steerman that you give dual in. Now, do you let anybody solo the steerman?
You know, right now, I don't. It's just a matter of getting people, you know, getting the insurance companies okay with it. Just about how the insurance company convinced on it, and then somebody bought that insurance company. We do internally within the company, if somebody wants to come out, get checked out in the steerman and fly rides for us, I'm more than happy to put them on our insurance and let them fly the airplane.
Yeah.
It's a great airplane. I love the steerman. It's just such a fun airplane to fly.
Now, which engine do you have in yours?
Well, I have the best engine for teaching somebody how to fly a steerman. I have the least horsepower possible. I've got the 220 Continental, and we even put a wood prop on it. So you're about as underpowered as they come.
Right, exactly.
I did a little instructing in one of those, and when we switched to the wood prop, it didn't make a big difference.
Yep. Yeah, I couldn't believe how much of a difference those things make. But it's nice. It's a much smoother running engine now. Than with the metal prop, but it makes a great trainer because you have to do things right, and if you don't do it right, it'll tell you. So.
Well, of course, out in California, though, you know, it's not like in Ohio here where we have the benefit of having lots and lots of grass strips, you know, all throughout the area. And most of yours is all paved, correct?
Oh, yeah, it makes it great for learning in the steerman. It's awesome. I probably flew the steerman 200 hours before I got to land on a grass strip. I landed on a grass strip. I'm like, this is amazing. So this is how they solo people in 7 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Different airplane.
Totally different ball game on the grass.
Yep.
Easy peasy.
All right. So then you got the steerman, and then you have a T6. And which model of T6 is it?
We have an SNJ-5, which is the same as a T6D model. So it's our airplane is pretty stock when it comes to what it's you know, all the mechanics of it, what it's got. Makes a great trainer. I love that airplane. I get to go all over the place, fly a lot of people's T6s, and I'll tell you what, one of the most fun airplanes to go out there and fly is a T6. And I realize this. You know, when you go up through the ranks and you go, hey, I want to fly fighters. And you get to the fighters and you go, hey, this is pretty cool. And you go back to the T6 and you go, this is really neat. Everybody's got T6s. We can get a formation flight together. We can go out and cruise on our own, do all sorts of stuff. But it's a very challenging, it's a pretty challenging airplane. And it's just a fun airplane to fly. I'm very lucky that I get to fly them so often, but, I recommend anybody who is an avid pilot, just for experience, jump in a T6 just to see what these guys in World War II had to learn and had to experience before they went off the flew a fighter.
Well, Mike here has got quite a bit of T6 time. He flew around with North American Top Gun.
So if you're looking for a T6 pilot, I'm your guy.
Nice.
Does the SNJ-5 still have the little technical talk here? Does it still have the power push button for the hydraulics?
Oh, no? Yeah.
Okay, because I flew the 4, and then we had a G-model T6, and you didn't have that. But the 4, SNJ-4 still had that hydraulic button.
That's the fun part about teaching people how to fly T6s. I try to teach people how to fly all T6s, but then I remind them that every T6 is the same until you get in your second T6.
Yeah.
And people have had 70 years to, I like this about the G model, I like this about the C model, I like this about this airplane, and they kind of made a hodgepodge of all airplanes. But, yeah, ours is really stock. We got pretty lucky. We still have the power push. We still have the oil shutter doors. Makes it as complicated as they can, but really prepares you if you want to go off to fly a fighter, so you're kind of mentally prepared to take care of the engine temperatures and watch out what your hydraulic system is doing and how it's operating and think ahead. That's really what the T-6 teaches you. It's a systems airplane as much as anything.
Yeah, and great flying airplanes too. You're right. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Smooth on the controls too. A lot of people think they'd be real heavy on the controls, but they're real nice flying birds.
Yeah, they're excited. I'm really excited because Friday I get to go down to Ramona and they have a big T-6 formation clinic. So since my airplane is down for getting fabric control surfaces, I get to go down there and I don't have to pay any gas. So I'm really excited. That's the only thing about the T-6 that gets on you is the gas and oil bill.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so then we've got the DC-3, we've got the Stearman, we've got the T-6, and then you have a Great Lakes. Why a Great Lakes?
Well, so the company started off years ago, kind of going ancient history. I was working as a chief pilot for a flight school, and I decided I needed to get into tailwheel training because in my moonlighting time, I was teaching people tailwheel. So I bought a Cessna 170, and one of my first students came out and flew with me, and he wanted a Great Lakes. So that was actually my first lease back was that Great Lakes. And that's kind of why we have one, but I've grown to appreciate the airplane, especially with the rest of the aircraft we have. We're able to actually rent that Great Lakes out. Somebody gets checked out in it, they can go fly it. It's a great airplane, a great confidence builder. It's a good stepping stone between flying a starter tailwheel airplane and getting into something like a Stearman or a Texan where you can't see over the nose. So it's got a pretty wide margin of error and allows you to really just be able to learn a lot without scaring yourself too bad. Plus, it's aerobatic, so you know that's always a plus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So is it 180 horse?
Oh yeah, 180 with four aileron.
Yeah.
So
okay,
makes it a nice little airplane.
Pretty much like a tiger moth, Daniel, from what I'm hearing you talk about.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Except exactly. much easier on the ground though.
You know, Lake Shavok and a tiger moth.
It's barely a tail dragger compared to the tiger moth.
just almost a nose dragger. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, and so then you still have the Cessna 170, I see.
Yeah, that's my baby. I got to admit, that's probably the airplane I'm the most protective of the whole fleet. Somebody goes, "Hey, I want to fly your 170." I go, "Okay." It's the airplane we torture the most because that's the airplane we do all the initial tailwheel training in. So somebody comes out to do tailwheel training with us. Most of the time we do it in the 170, either the 170. If somebody wants to do it all in the Satabri or the Stearman will do that. Excuse me, not in the Satabri, in the Great Lakes, or the Stearman will do that. But we usually start everybody off in the 170. It's a nice airplane, but it'll definitely tell you what you're doing wrong really quickly, and it makes it a great trainer. Mm-hmm. But it's also the airplane, like I said, I'm the most protective of. People know it when they've made it in my hangar. They go, when I say, "Hey, want me to put you on the insurance on the 170 so you can go fly it on the weekends when you want?" They all perk up and go, "Wait, you're going to let me go fly the 170? You'll let me go solo the DC-3, but not the 170. So, yeah, it's a neat airplane. It's also, it might be because I really hung myself out when I bought the airplane, but and that very 170 was the airplane I got my tailwheel endorsement at too. So kind of a neat personal history to me that mm-hmm. airplane has.
Yeah.
So
Daniel, we have a question that came in via email here from a listener that's over in Gatwick tonight.
Where?
Gatwick. They are up pretty late. What they want to know, and this is. I'm not even going to attempt the name. My apologies. From Gatwick, the listener says, as a flight instructor to the panel of listeners, they consider you folks a panel. That's encouraging.
Nice. Nice.
What should we be concerned with as we move into winter? And as our skills begin to atrophy, what should we be practicing on these final few days that we can fly? There you go.
Ooh, that's a good question. I say fly. Just enjoy it.
Just keep flying.
Yeah, just do it.
Doesn't matter if there's snow out. Now, see, Daniel, you don't have to worry about the snow factor, but we here, of course, do.
Wait, hold on. I got a question for you. What's snow?
Yeah, see? Now, if you
is that the stuff that they put on TV?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. That's when the TV reception comes in bad. Okay, I gotcha.
Yes.
Now, if you want to talk about fun, then it's ski plane flying.
Ooh,
that's a lot of fun. An absolute blast, and that's how we pass our winters here in Ohio. Is we put several of the airplanes on skis, and I don't think you could have a better time.
It is a lot of fun. You have zero depth perception, but I'm thinking if you come out, we could put the Wildcat on skis. You don't have to worry about retracting the gear. You know, it's good.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do it. It might actually be better that way.
Yeah, I know. She'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be a flight test that we're going to do. It's going to be for educational purposes.
Exactly. Yes.
And we will stand way far back from the runway. You know.
But in all honesty, going back to the question, I would tell them, hey, if you're going to go flying anyway, number one thing is practice your slow flight. Anybody can fly fast, but it's when the airplane's slow, that's what you get in trouble with. And if you can keep those skills fresh, you'll probably be a little safer going into the new year. Other than that, take a vacation to someplace warmer so you can go fly.
Yeah, you know, Daniel, I couldn't agree more. I get a question a lot when I fly an airplane for the first time, what do I do? And after I get off the ground, I go out, I put it in the slow flight, I do stalls in it, I do things. So I want to figure out how the airplane's going to handle, you know. And it's amazing, you know, you being a flight instructor, you know, if you tell someone to put an airplane into slow flight, they look at you like you're crazy. You know, it's like, no, let's do this here. You know, we got to keep your skills up. And that was an excellent answer. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, that was the first thing I did in the jet. I got out there and I slowed along and slowed it down. All right, what's the airplane do? Okay, how's it stall? How's it brake? Where does it brake? Let's go ahead and do an accelerator stall or two to figure out where the safety margin is.
Exactly. What do you think about that, Matt Jolly?
I think it's good. I have another question here tonight. They're writing in via email. Gary in Illinois writes in tonight. Says, hey, Daniel, seen you at the Plains of Fame Air Show a time or two. And he's a fan of yours, appears. Wants to know what the checkout time is on the steerman. For someone trying to transition from a steerman, he says he flies a Kit Fox and an Air Coupe, about two of the most different airplanes around there, probably. one without even rudder pedals, and the other that, I've been told is a good trainer for a Pitts. I've only flown a Kit Fox a time or two, but I don't. Anyhow, what do you recommend, Daniel, time-wise, in the steerman?
You know, I tell everybody it's very individual on that, not to beat around the bush on it, but it really depends on how much table time they have and the experience. And the type of table flying they're doing. The steerman is a very straightforward airplane, but when it goes away from you, it goes away quick. So if the guy's got a fair amount of daywheel time, it's a 5-hour check out. It's really not, it's a non-event. The airplane is as simple as it comes when it comes to systems, but we definitely want to get out there, get some, of course, slow flight installs, that kind of thing. Make sure you know where the airplane's parameters are. But we beat the heck out of the traffic pattern. And I try to find crosswinds, gusty winds. I'm really big on three-pointing in a steerman to start off with. The airplane's got a fairly forward center of gravity to it, and wheel landings. Typically when you read accident reports on steermans and stuff, you'll find they usually started off in a wheel landing. So I start people off pretty heavy in the three-point attitude, and then work them into the wheel landing, because obviously you got to get the tail down sometimes, so let's get really comfortable in that three-point attitude. that's usually the biggest issue that people have when they're transitioning to the airplane, is that they're used to seeing things in front of them, and as German, you see nothing in front of you. So I had a gentleman that had a brand new Walker that I flew with years ago. He lost his medical, and me and they come out and fly with him to keep him legal. His way of fixing the fact that he couldn't see anything in front of him was he would touch down and lay on the brakes as hard as he could, keep the tail up in the air until the airplane came to a stop and keep crashing down on the tail. So
that's pretty much what Andy Hines does every time you fly with him. Yeah. Just hold the brakes.
It's safety, right?
Yeah, it's safety first.
And if you're really worried about the short field characteristics of it, it's amazing. All you have to do is push on the brakes a little bit harder, and then you can make a really short landing there.
So, yeah, right over on your back. Instant stop. Stearmans are great for that. Have you ever flown a UPF 7, Daniel?
Yes. Beautiful airplane.
Yeah, those are nice flying airplanes as well. I think they were a little easier than the Stearman. I think that's another reason why the Stearman was chosen, was because, you know, like you said, it shows you what you're doing wrong. It shows you quickly. You don't let it go too far. You know, a steerable tailwheel versus locking, but I found the UPF to be a really nice airplane.
When you look at the military training, they were sick and sadistic people. They're like, hey, let's go ahead and, you know, first steerman that came out had big, wide OEO struts. He said, we love it. Why don't you just go ahead and narrow up the landing gear, sit up a little higher. Let's put some stall strips out here so we don't know which way it's going to stall or which way it's going to break. Then we'll buy it. Hey, the PT-22, well, the Ryan SDA, great airplane. We love it. Let's put the wing back 1 degree, and let's put that Kenner engine on it so it snaps over every time you get slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing with the Texan. You know, it's just they really tried to make the airplanes as hard as they could. That way, whenever you were out there, your single-seat fighter, if you hadn't killed yourself in pilot training, hey, flying a P-51 Mustang, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
with a big wide gear too.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of the P-51 guys we've had on the show, you know, when they were talking about the T-6 and the Stearman, they were saying, yeah, the T-6 is actually more to handle than the P-51, you know, landing wise, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the old joke is they should have started you off in a P-51, moved you to a T-6, and then when you're really good at the T-6, maybe get you into a Stearman.
So what else have you flown, I mean, fighter-wise, besides the Wildcat?
You know, not really a whole lot. I've got some orientation time in a Mustang. A friend of mine let me get a little feel of what the airplane was like. No front seat experience, but other than that, just drooled at them. My goal is someday I want to fly a Corsair, and it's just been a very elusive goal, but I'll hit it here sometime.
That'd be a heck of an airplane to fly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I watched way too much Black Sheep Squadron as a kid.
Well, no, that sounds like you got a pretty neat deal there. You know, I mean, it's tough to find tailwheel schools around the country. It really is. You know, and so that's kind of a neat thing that you're doing that, you know, out in California. And
yeah, I when you guys get sick and tired of the wintertime, we're ready to take you out here. So, you know, just a little plug. Hey, you know, we have beautiful flying weather year round. Come on out, spend your vacation with us. We'll keep you flying in some really fun airplanes. And, you know, it's usually our busy season actually because of that. But people come on out and keep their skills up.
Do you have a place where we could sleep? When Andy and I come out there, our money's going.
You know, we'll throw
a
cot up in the hangar. It would be great.
Nice. That's all we need. Jolly.
Here. Are you ready for a break?
Let's go to break.
And Daniel, thanks for hanging out with the guys tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you have more important things to do, so we'll cut you loose, but the website's quick linked into the show story tonight, and if you want to go fly with Daniel and Dr. D's on your airport, is he not?
Yes, he is. Dr. D comes by my hangar very often. He's a super cool guy.
So if you scare yourself too badly, then you can sit down with a former, a psychology professor who happens to be an air show pilot and a darn good one at that. So That's pretty cool.
Daniel,
so
we'd
that's
like to,
why he keeps talking to me like that.
Yeah. Now you know.
I get it now.
It all makes sense. All right. Good deal.
Yes, Daniel, thank you very, 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 very much.
Yes, thanks for coming on short notice.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, we'd like to have you back again, and we'll definitely come out and visit. It sounds like a lot of fun. I'd like to check out some of your airplanes out there, and we'll stop in. We could do the show live from your place.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you guys out, and then also let everybody know, check out facebook.com/aviatorflighttraining. We're there kind of keep you up to date with all the excitement we have going on.
All right. Great.
Thank you. We're going to go to we're going to go take a break now.
Matt? We're so close to the Pentagon. Sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the all-new Warbird Radio Live channel. We're happy to be back on the air right across from the runway at Washington Reagan International Airport. Be sure and tune in Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern each week for Warbird Radio Live, followed by a new episode of one of our top-tier shows like the R.C. Scale Builder Show, Hartman and Hines, Over the Front, and the all-new Texas Warbird Report and Wings Over New Zealand Show. Listen, this station is all about community, so please join up with us on Tuesday nights and call in and become part of the fun and part of the family. Thanks again for tuning in, and join us Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Mike Buzzard Hartman, and we are back. Andy?
We're right here.
Wes, how you doing? Christina? Heisenberg?
Yeah.
What's up? How you doing?
Hi.
Good. Patrick!
Yeah.
How are you?
A little drunk.
Well, that's what's going on in Dayton, Ohio this evening. This evening. Matthew, are you there?
I am here. It's time now for a commercial from our friends at the Hines Family Ski Lodge. Is the announcer there?
Yeah.
Where's the announcer for the Hines Family Ski Lodge? It's time for his Hines Family Ski Lodge commercial.
Hi, I'm Mike Buzzard Hartman. Welcome to the Hines Family Ski Lodge.
I don't know what the heck I'm supposed to say.
Hines and Hines, magic you. Cures the knocking in your motor. Hines and Hines. Badass for over 25 years.
Okay, that'll work.
What?
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 Huh?
What's that?
What are we talking about again? Yeah.
I don't know.
The Hines Family Ski Lodge will be in business. You can buy your passes for $1,000 with the self-addressed stamp envelope to Mr. Andy Hines.
Or $1,500 for Mr. Michael Hartman.
Mike Buzzard Hartman.
Yes.
All
a little more to show up.
No hot cocoa and absolutely no smoking.
We do not sell breakfast. We don't give you anything.
Yeah,
really.
They just show up and they're kind of rude to you.
Show up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even guaranteed a bed, really.
You know, and at 10 o'clock, we lock the door to your bedroom. So if you're in there, you better be in there. You're in the darn hallway.
Yeah.
We don't let you out till 6 a.m. because that's when we bring the skis out.
That's right. No use getting out any sooner.
Yeah.
That's good.
Check out any time or whatever the song is. Yeah. Hotel. Yes. Mm.
Yeah.
Can't say that on the air.
Nope. Oh, hey, you know what that means? It means that we have an email.
Oh.
We have an email tonight. You want me to read it?
I'll
read it because you can't. So the email is from Ryan. Ryan writes in and he says, "Hey, guys, I've enjoyed the show tonight, and I'm too shy to call in."
Oh. Ryan, it's okay. You can call in anytime. Andy and I are normal guys. Matt's back there in the mailroom. I know he seems like some giant personality in the aviation world.
Come on, man.
But when it comes down to it, well, he really is. Anyway.
He's just a guy with a broken down trailer.
Just a guy. And Andy and I are just regular old Joes. Yeah. Ryan, we'd actually like to have your phone call. So if you're still listening in on the show, call in.
No, he writes
Ask us a question.
He's written in his question. And it says, I am Hartman. Oh, Hartman. It says here, I heard him mention the 150. I'm training in a Cessna 150 right now, but I hope someday to fly something with two wings and a round engine. Is there something I should work on now while I'm training in the 150 that will better prepare me for the day I take my first biplane flight?
Let me tell you, Ryan.
We always
start flying in something, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Cessna 150.
A lot of people train C-150.
Yeah. C-150 or C-152. It's a great little airplane, great trainer. Really, as far as biplane flying goes, if you want to do something that's close to biplane flying in a 150, besides landing and taking off, which is completely different.
Yeah, cover the windshield completely.
Yeah. And on landing, just put the flaps down all the way and pull the power and try to get the best sink rate you can. But really, I mean, you're not going to get the best way to train to start flying in a biplane, I think, would be to jump in something like a Piper Cub first, flying from the back seat where you're not going to see out the front, move into something like that, and then later on jump into a Stearman.
Right.
And that's what our friends at Waynesville Airport do. They start you out in the Piper Cub back there, so you get used to not seeing over the nose and flying tailwheel, which is completely different, and then they move you up to the Stearman. Really, in the 150, nothing's really going to
be similar.
Be similar, yeah. But a biplane has a very big sink rate. So, am I on, Andy? Am I
doing
good here?
No, you're definitely on. There's not many power off landings with a biplane.
Yes, yeah. And what do you think there, Matt Jolly? Do you have anything to add there?
Oh, he didn't ask me. He asked you. I mean.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. I was just asking for your feedback.
Yeah, you would scare him, Matt.
I would say run around. Yeah, I would say run around like Patty Hilt does when he flies the 150 and just keep the yoke all the way back and a little bit of power on so the tail skid drags.
There's a hook back there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's going the wrong way, though, but it looks cool when you do it.
We told you Patrick bought a Champ, right?
I know, 911.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a nice champ,
new
too.
Call sign is, say it with me now,
Reno.
Yeah, Reno. Do you wear the short shorts and the Ray-Bans now, Patty?
No, I fly naked, Matt.
Even better. There you go.
I can't wait for you to be my...
Yeah, I don't think so. That'll be good, though. A nice champ. We've all seen it. I want to just start calling you champ. Hey there, champ. How's it going there, champ?
Not that.
You champion. You.
And we call Wes, his new nickname is Bootsy.
Bootsy.
Because he always flies in boots. He's got some Red Wings that he flies in. No matter what he's flying or where he's flying.
He's a working man.
Boots on. Yeah. He's the man.
That's right. Are they steel-toed? I'd hope so.
Are those steel-toed, Wes? No?
No, but they got a cute little American flag on them.
Don't make fun of those boots.
I'm sorry.
When those things are done, when he's done wearing those, we're going to hang those up in a hangar, man. And you're going to sign them for us.
Hundreds of hours.
Exactly.
Nice. Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Nice, nice. Well, it's wintertime, and you know what that means. It's time, as you said, for ski flying.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've seen it or not, but the guys, Kurt Wicker and all of them, they took a huge ski flying trip up to Maine last year. I think it was Maine that they went to. And they just flew in the Cubs, and they would land wherever they could, and they had a grand adventure. And I was thinking that this year could be the year for the Hartman and Hines Roadshow on skis.
You know, he could actually tow me behind the airplane, too.
He could, in a little bobsled. That'd be cute.
You know, yeah, be like a little routine.
A little sidecar, yeah, winter air show circuit.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a video out there on YouTube of a guy skiing.
losing his pilot's license from the FAA.
Yeah. He is skiing behind a Waco RNF that's airborne. And that is quite the video to see.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, but...
We actually, a couple years ago, we were racing an airplane.
Uh-huh. Right.
That was on skis. However, we were all legal. We were good to go. We were on snowmobiles. It was flying. And we were trying to see who was going to be. I mean, it was a very close race, actually.
It was a nail biter.
Done in a closed course, controlled environment.
huge ball of fire.
There was
huge.
Everything
huge
went well.
Huge ball of fire.
We weren't flying. We were on the snowmobiles.
Right.
Those things are fast, Matt. You ever ridden one of those?
I have not. I've never gotten one up to. I haven't. I'm from South Texas. Are you kidding me? We didn't have snow. It's like Daniel. It's like Daniel said. It's the stuff. It's the stuff they use on TV.
Yeah, cheap.
Are you gonna? Yeah. Are you gonna come up and visit us this winter, man? Are you gonna come to the ski lodge for once?
Is it already gray and overcast there? Because I've been to Ohio.
Yes, it is.
It's gray and overcast until like what? March or April.
Yeah, Thursday we got 50-mile-an-hour gusts.
Oh well, sign me up. Sign me up. Let's go.
Fire little chipmunky in.
Yeah.
get some wind action. Wind pee.
That'll be nice. That'll be nice. No, I don't know. I mean, Dayton in December is, well, it's Dayton in December. When I call Andy answers the phone and I'll say, "Hey Andy, how's it going?" And you're like, "Well, you know, it's fine, I guess."
Yes, we're lost right now because we can't fly. So
it's
we're
winter.
Hot dogs.
It's it's the gray.
Just the same water for the past week.
It just oozes out of you every time I call. So I don't know. Maybe you should come here, Andy.
I could do that.
You could hop on the little airplane and come on down here, or you could hop in the cabin. And
well, each time I've tried to come to see you now, the last couple of times, it's always, I'm always
out of town.
I've got something going on that day, I'll be busy.
I'm here now, but gone tomorrow. So
I've gone there like five times.
Yeah,
man.
Hartman.
Does prime
Hartman.
Rib?
Really?
Yeah.
Hartman has a room here. It's the Hartman suite.
It's so exciting visiting Matt Jolly. I love it.
He has his
love it. You like butter.
He's got his own study here at the hangar.
I do.
The Hartman suite. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You ought to see my desk.
Really?
It's a large.
It only has three legs on it, though.
Uh-huh. Large desk. Leather top. Quite nice. So seriously now, is Pete making all this stuff up? Your brother Pete, who has co-hosted the show, Andy, claims to have a Navion that will climb at 6,000 feet a minute.
I haven't been in it yet.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what he says, and that's what each person that he takes up in it.
I've seen it.
You know, Mike's ridden in it two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a. It doesn't really cruise much faster than a normal Navion, but it throws you back in the seat, and it just starts going up and going up. And going up and going up. It's ridiculous.
Right.
You know, it's pretty amazing.
I'm not buying it for a minute. I think we're gonna have to do a video on this.
Well, we can do that.
There's pictures out there somewhere.
Trey Carroll has a couple of expressions on this, but I'm not gonna repeat them.
Do you got it?
I'm looking right now.
We're looking for a picture now.
I've seen the picture, but I mean it's a stuck gauge. There's no way a Navion.
But it had to get there somehow.
We're looking
at it. We're at 5,500 foot per minute. We're at 70 knots.
He's got those model rocket engines tied to the back end of it, doesn't he?
It's got a JATO on it.
Right.
No, you should see it take off, you know, from out in front of our hangar. I mean, you've been there enough time, he's taking off to the east. And if he's by himself, he is off the ground well before the taxiway that's out in front of our hangar, and he's climbing at about a 45-degree angle, and he just keeps climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing like that.
It goes up like when you're watching a 450 Stearman take off. They go nuts, except it's going a little faster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know what you're thinking. You're just going to have to come here for yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come there for myself.
Yes.
I have to see this.
It's not a stellar performer like a chipmunk.
No, I wouldn't say that. But a Navion. What does he have under the hood?
It's a
IO 520.
Oh, well, okay. Okay.
So it's a...
it's the big engine with the big prop.
No, right. It's a 285. Yeah, 285 horsepower. It's got a big prop on it. A Cessna 185.
Yeah.
Two-bladed prop, not a three-bladed prop. This thing, when it takes off, it cracks. I mean, it is loud. It's like a little quieter than the CRG is, but it's cracking. It's crack-a-lacking. It wakes up the neighborhood.
And you know, Pete's
first time he took off out of Moraine, he set off two car alarms, and there was a lot of dogs barking.
Babies were crying.
And
babies.
I think they actually got a couple phone calls on it, too. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty. It's stellar. It is stellar. Nice looking bird, too.
Pete. All right. All right. Well, I guess we'll just have to see. We'll just seeing will be believing. You need to make the video of this.
I get picked up on the microphone.
Yeah,
I'm
you did.
You I'm yelling at people. I'm sorry. Keeping our audience under control.
All right. Patrick sending me. I don't want your pictures, Patrick. I want to see.
I want you to see it.
I know. I want to see it. Proof. I proof. These are ground shots.
I swear.
These are ground shots. I don't buy.
You do not know. Look. I've seen
more convincing Roswell aliens than this. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll put it up there on the site, and you guys be the judge of Orion Navion climbing out at. It's
no,
peg.
No, no. North American.
North American.
North American. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pegged out at 5,500. Well, the early ones were.
Is that our music you're playing?
That's
in
your
the
music because
already?
You're out of time.
You can't do that.
Next episode is Santa Claus.
We got 10 minutes left, man. Come on.
Nope, next episode is Santa
Wes,
Claus.
Wes, you flew the Stearman, right?
I did fly the Stearman.
What'd you think?
That's a nice flight.
Poor Wes.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I did.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
Was it fun?
Yes.
Yeah. Wes, what do you think about? I mean, you've seen Brother Pete's Navion.
I have.
Are you buying it? I mean, I feel like I'm getting taken to the cleaners on this.
So I'll just say I was flying in the pattern with a student, and Pete was taken off in the Navion.
There he goes, right on up at a rocket's pace. I'm already hearing
I can,
it. I'm hearing
I can
it.
Tell you that by the end of the runway at Moraine, which is only 3,500 feet, he was already at pattern altitude.
This is the stuff of legend that Pete Hines seems to create. I don't know how he
I was
it.
Looking up at him when I was on downwind. I was looking up at him, and he was at the end of the runway.
Right. Right, and he's just grinning from ear to ear the whole time. I know. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well,
you're gonna have to see it for yourself.
I'm gonna have to come out there. We're gonna have to do it. We're gonna have to do a video. I think we should like mark off with white lines down the runway, with those super slow mo cams, like they do on that TV show on that other channel that sells advertisers, and we'll scientifically prove it with Hartman and Hines, crackpot investigation team.
Just come up here, you know, you're always welcome.
I know, that's what scares me.
Not at my house, but you know, Andy will have you over.
I'll sleep with a crippled dog at the presidential suite at the Hines Family Ski Lodge.
So yes.
I'll get it on Groupon, though. I'm not going to send my money. So.
Stay at the hotel by the highway.
Yeah, there you go.
Next to the truck stop.
Yeah, with the seven killers.
$30 a night.
$30 a night or by the hour.
You'll get visitors.
Yeah, and the...
High five.
And the chicken fried steak.
You need any clean and done now.
Oh, God.
Just let me know.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
Talk to you next time.
All righty.
Well, you've managed to waste nearly another hour with the Hartman and Hines Show. Tune in next month for an all-new episode and a real guest. For more information, you can stay right here at Warbird Radio. Click on the bio, see pics, and of course, our thanks to Daniel Watring and Aviator Flight Training. So long for now.